You're listening to the Baby Proof Your Homeschool podcast, the podcast that gives you the support and weapons you need for the battle of homeschooling with babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. I'm Jenny Shaw, your host, and you've got episode 3. Our guest this episode is Jill Mach, a homeschooling veteran of 18 years and mother of 9. Today, she will be sharing with us her journey to finding the importance of self-care as a homeschooling mom. Hi, Jill. Thank you so much for joining me tonight and agreeing to come on and share your story with us.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate you inviting me to be here.
Great. If you could introduce us to your family so we can get to know you a little bit and know where you're coming from.
Sure. Well, I'm in North Texas, and I jokingly say I have three families. I have a 30-year-old stepdaughter who has been part of my life since she was 4 and a half. And then I have a 23 and 20-year-old, two daughters that are, all three of those are married and out of the house. And remaining at home, I have 6 children between the ages of 14 and 7. So it does feel like 3 separate families, but we're just one big spread out. And I also have 10 grandchildren.
Oh my, what a gift. So what got you started in homeschooling? Did you always know you wanted to homeschool? Was there a specific event that kind of triggered that, or how did that come about?
Well, our oldest daughter was in a parochial school, and when our next daughter started a Catholic school and the third was on the way, we realized how much tuition was going to cost. And I started praying and reading, and I felt this calling to homeschool, and I actually told God, no way, that I would never homeschool, that he was crazy. And he said that he still wanted me to do it. And I said, I played the submissive card, which anyone who knows me knows I'm not really that submissive. I'm not good about it. And I said, oh, I'm going to let my husband know this. And he's going to just say, no way, Jose. And then that'll be my way out. And when I shared the book that I was reading with him, which is actually Gregory Popchick's How to Raise Almost Perfect Kids or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. My husband said, that's very interesting. I want you to look into it. And so here I am 18 years later.
Oh my, oh my. So it's so interesting to see how, you know, he turns our choices and decisions in ways we'd never thought.
Yeah. But once I started, I love teaching, and my favorite stage is actually the preschool. Babies to preschool age is absolutely my favorite stage of raising kids. But it's also, to me, the most challenging stage. Mm-hmm. Because it's so draining emotionally, physically, and mentally. Because they need you so much, but there's so much growth. So it's very exciting to me.
Right. Lots of changes and lots of time and attention needed and love to be poured in.
Yes. And I guess it's good it's my favorite stage, because when I sat down and tallied it up, I have 21 consecutive years with a preschool age child in my care.
Oh my. So you are a pro. I'm so thankful that you are here to share your wisdom, because I need all the help I can get.
Well, that's kind of the wisdom is there is no one way. Mm-hmm. There's no professional. I stumbled my way through it, and it's just a difficult time, but a very rewarding time too, when you look back and you see how much growth. And I look at my kids now, and I just they're great. I just love them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All those memories. Well, could you share your story with us and what you learned about the importance of self-care? This is a topic that I really struggle with, making time for. I used to not see the point in it, and now I do, but it's still finding the time to do it and methods to make it happen just are eluding me. And I'm thinking that might be the place of more than, you know, just one person out there.
Right. And so for me, I had the I had the two girls, my two biological oldest, and I actually lost two children. And then I had 5 years of infertility. And so the last six children came in a 7-year time span. And during that same time, our oldest daughter was having her own children. So my six oldest grandchildren overlap with my youngest six children, which, you know, made it a very interesting dynamic at that time in my life. But the six babies in 7 years took a real toll on my body. And also my core group of friends that I had raised the older kids with were all entering a new phase of their life, and I was still having babies. So I lost my core group of friends.
Oh, no.
And then I was so busy. It was just baby, 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 baby. And I have very difficult pregnancies. So I was on bed rest a lot. And then with my last child, I was actually hospitalized for 2 weeks for placenta previa, had an emergency C-section, and went into anaphylactic shock. Completely just drained my adrenal glands. And then he was 5 weeks premature. And so it was this 8 weeks of pumping and nursing around the clock, basically with no sleep. So you can imagine by the end of that, I was just totally wiped out. I began to have panic attacks and a lot of anxiety issues. And when I went to the doctor, all that they would tell me was, well, you're 40 now and you have 8 kids and blah, blah, blah. And I knew it wasn't a factor of age, because at any given time, I had 15 kids in my backyard and in my home. I've never had an issue with being around a lot of children. So the fact that I was experiencing this anxiety and moments of rage over really small issues told me that there was something more going on. And so as I sought to find help, I found a nutritional therapist and started working on my nutritional care. And then I went on an 11-day retreat at a convent. At that point, my baby was about 1 year old. And I thought that an 11-day retreat would be enough for me to rest and recover and come home and be ready to face the challenges again. Little did I know at that time it would be a 6-year journey. So for the past 6 years, I've spent the majority of my time in a chair or in bed, just from severe adrenal fatigue and inability to have any energy or function. I experienced very high anxiety levels and panic attacks at what one point put me in my room for 3 weeks, because I knew if I left my room, I would be so stressed by the demands of my children that I would scream at them. And I didn't want to do that anymore. So all of that to say, on that retreat, I had a priest tell me, you're not loving yourself. And I thought, what is he talking about? And he said, you're not practicing self-care and self-love. And I really did not understand what that meant. And it's taken me 6 years to fully comprehend that. So I applaud your wisdom of broaching this topic and asking veteran moms about their time in the trenches and bringing this to the attention of other women, because maybe my story could have been different. But I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for my experience. So I wasn't successful at doing self-care when I had small children, but have since implemented it. And my children are all watching me, and they're all learning from me about the importance of self-care. And my husband is learning from me about the importance of self-care. And so I'm sorry, that was just a lot. That was a lot.
Well, I really appreciate you, you know, having the courage to share your story. And I think that's part of the issue with, I mean, moms in general, not even just homeschooling moms, not even just homeschooling moms that have a lot of young kids, is that we do have a lot of the brunt of life and of running things and of caring for others put on us, and we don't feel maybe that we're worth the time to have a break or care for ourselves or make those things happen. So I think we all need that encouragement that yes, to pour into your children, to keep running, to keep everything else functioning, you have to be the first one taken care of.
The old adage of put your own oxygen mask on first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is. It's so vitally important. And where to begin? Where to begin? Because people always ask me, well, what was the cause of your health issue? And there isn't one cause. I think that we always have to remember that we have to have this balance: our relationship with God, our relationship with our work, and our relationship to one another. And if that's out of balance in any way, it can be very detrimental to our well-being. And so for me, what happened is I think the babies just came so fast, and I had experienced so much infertility that for me, it was a mental transition. It was, well, how can I tell God no now? And I've been begging for children for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was part of it. And then another part of it was I don't think that I was raised. I don't think that women were raised in my generation or are being raised today to answer the call of a vocation to motherhood. Now, I'm not saying that we should all raise our daughters to be homemakers and that be the be-all and end-all of it. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, though, is that we need to bring back the dignity of the vocation of motherhood. The dignity that being a stay-at-home mom or a homeschooling mom is enough. That you don't have to do more than that to feel validated or worthwhile. But you might be called more to do more. And that's okay too. St. Gianna Mola was a physician and a mother. So we have these examples of saints. Saint Zélie Martin, the mother of St. Thérèse, ran a lace business and was a mother. And then we have lots of examples of mothers who were simply mothers. The Blessed Virgin Mary, for example, or Saint Anne. But I think that was part of my struggle, is I was raised to go to college and have a career. And then when that all shifted and I started to stay at home, I also felt like it would please my husband to continue working, and we run our own business. So I've worked for my husband from the time we were first married. I worked for his business, and then we have a joint business with my daughter as well. And I worked for that business until September of last year. And so in addition to homeschooling, in addition to having 8 children under my roof was my max, and all of those responsibilities, I also worked. And so in September, I felt called to quit work. And it's very hard to resign when you work for your husband and your daughter. So, I have a little cartoon actually that I got when we were first married, and it's a woman sitting behind a desk and her husband standing in front of her. And she says, "I hope my firing you, Harold, won't affect our marriage." And so it was kind of prophetic that I kept that, because it was kind of like, I hope my resigning won't affect our marriage. But I was able to simply say to my husband, you know, my younger 6 kids, our kids have never known me healthy. And it's time for me to dedicate myself to them. And in order to do that, I have to make a choice, because I can't do both well. And so that has really been the turning point in my recovery and my mental health and my well-being and my physical health, and also a great spiritual leap for me because I really felt God calling me to that. And so I do think that's part of the problem in mothers struggling with their vocation and struggling when they have young children, is that we feel we're not enough. And then we also feel that we're not doing enough. And those are both lies. We are enough. God gives us the grace to do what he's called us to. And it doesn't mean that we're always going to meet with success. One of the prayers I pray each morning, it's called the blank check prayer. And it's, you know, Jesus, I give you my all to do your will, whether I meet with success or failure. And I think that's so important for mothers to realize. There are a lot of practical things I could tell you what, how to manage children with while you're homeschooling young children, keeping them busy and keeping them occupied. But I think the greatest wisdom lies in two things. And this I got from a book called Teaching from Rest by Sarah McKenzie.
Yes. That's a classic. Yeah.
I was just introduced to it a year ago. So it summarized my whole experience. And it's seeking God's will first and relationships. And the rest is just a filler. It really is. So if we're doing what God calls us to, and we're working on our relationships in our life with our children, with our spouse, with our friends, with the people in our community, everything else is going to fall into place. The academics will fall into place. You know, I told you that I was so sick. I was in my bedroom for 3 weeks and I spent a great deal of time in bed. And so a lot of people say, well, how did you homeschool? And the answer is, for about a year and a half, we really didn't do a whole lot of anything. Mm-hmm. And I had to put my, we put our children in charter school for 1 year just to give myself a break and to give my body time to heal. And I think that was God's way of showing me to trust him, that he'd called me to homeschool and he was going to give me the grace to get through it. Because my children all went into charter school and they all got character awards and they all came out with straight A's. And so God was showing me, see, even with the minimum that you're doing, it is enough. They're learning, they're growing, and you have these beautiful, well-rounded children. And it also taught me when they were in school how they became 6 independent children instead of a family with 6 children at home. That was a huge difference. Our relationships were kind of fractured. And so by bringing them back home this past year, we were able to rebuild that and reconnect and grow on that. So God's will and relationships and then just relax. I know a lot of people worry about how much their young children are learning and when they should start teaching them. And if your oldest is, say, your 6-year-old or 7-year-old, totally just read. Read aloud to them, play with them, play games and read and have fun. And they're going to get everything that they need. And if you have older kids and you have babies, and you're worrying about the younger kids, well, they're not getting the one-on-one attention that I gave, you know, to my firstborn. That's okay, because they're going to be absorbing it by watching you with the older kids and by the older kids playing with them and interacting. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still learning. They're just learning different things and they're learning in a different way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the dynamics is going to be different as your family grows and changes. And my 2 older girls were entering the preteen and teen years when all of this hit with my health, and they had to run the house. They had to take care of their younger siblings and do the laundry and cook meals. And I felt a lot of guilt about that for a very long time. And now I look at them as young married women and I see how independent and strong they are and how capable they are. And so I know that that was part of God's plan too. Now I did learn that you should bring in help, that if you need help, you shouldn't be afraid to hire help and bring help in. And I did do that at one point as well, because you don't want to overburden your children either, or your spouse, or yourself. So Mother's Helpers are great. Bringing in a fellow homeschool team to come in and entertain the younger kids while you work is a wonderful way for them to get experience in babysitting, and for you to dedicate some time to your older kids or maybe a task that you need to get done.
You reminded me when you were talking about that prayer, the Mother Teresa quote.
Yes.
You know, God has not called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful.
Exactly.
You know, that's our goal. That's our bar to reach. And that's hard. It's hard to let that go, to let that control go.
Oh, yes. And success in God's eyes is very different from success in the world's eyes. So I know for a long time, I felt like I had to kind of defend or prove my homeschooling, right? So I had to prove that my children were doing academically well, or were socialized and were involved in this activity and that activity. And now I don't feel that need to prove myself to anyone. Now I feel very secure in the fact that God has called our family to this lifestyle, and I'm very comfortable with that. And I'm very comfortable with taking a day off if we need it, and just being more relaxed. And of course, I was a very structured person to begin with. So, you know, if you're a relaxed personality and you need more structure, then that's what you have to work on, right? And for me, it was too much control and too much structure. And so God's having me work on relaxing and leaning into Him more and trusting Him more. So we have to know ourselves too. And we have to know what our strengths and weaknesses are and kind of broach it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. So if you tend to take too many days off to go to the park, and you know in the back of your mind that you really should be working on some math lessons every now and then that's the muscle God's asking you to work on, is the self-discipline muscle. And so that's important to not to use. We have to be careful not to use self-care as an excuse for not doing our duty to God. And we have to be careful not to use our duty as an excuse for not doing self-care.
Finding that middle road.
Yes. And for me, I often chose things that were good, but they were not necessarily God's will. And then that was taking on too much and overburdening myself, even though it was a good choice. Maybe it could be something as simple as making a meal for a friend, right? That might be a good thing to do. But maybe that day you haven't slept for 3 days because you've been up nursing a baby, and you're struggling to get the meal on the table for your own family. But we sometimes do that because we feel obligated, or what will people think if I don't bring this meal to so-and-so?
And the question, right, really, those Mary Martha
exactly
choices.
And the question really needs to be, what does God want me to do? Does He want me to rest so I can care for my own family? Or does He want me to make this meal for the other family so that I can feel good about myself?
Right.
That's just a pitfall sometimes we fall into. But I did kind of jot some notes of things I wanted to share. So,
oh, wonderful.
Practical ways of getting rest with younger children and toddlers is, and I know we've all heard this before, but rest when they rest. If you're really in your sleep at night, your body is not going to function optimally. So it's okay to put our feet up for a little while or even take a nap with the baby and let the dishes sit, because some things will wait. Our children can't wait, right? If the baby needs to be fed, that can't be put off. But dishes can be put off. Vacuuming can be put off, things like that. And then also, a lot of times I'll hear at homeschool conferences, people say to get up early and do your prayer time. And I want to stress how much that advice was not good for me. So if you have adrenal fatigue, which I believe the majority of homeschooling moms with babies do have, not as severe as I had, of course, but to some extent, because you're just not getting sleep, waking up early may not be what's best for your body. So some symptoms of adrenal fatigue are, as if you get up at, say, 7 with the baby, and by 9 or 10 o'clock, you're crashing, that you just feel like you need a nap. Then you make lunch, and then you have another crash around 3 o'clock. And then you struggle through to get dinner on the table. And then about an hour after you eat and the kids are finally going to bed, you have this burst of energy. And then you stay up until midnight or 1 because you have all this energy and you're getting so much done. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like my life. I'm kind of scared now.
That is a big red flag that your adrenals are being taxed and stressed. And so your adrenals monitor your stress hormone in your body, cortisol. Mm-hmm. And if you continue to tax and stress them, your cortisone levels can get so low that then when you enter a phase of stress, you're functioning on adrenaline. And that's when you turn into the crazy screaming mom because somebody spilled a glass of lemonade on your freshly mopped floor. And I think we've all experienced that at one time or another. And you're thinking to yourself, why in the world did I just go so crazy over something that's really not a big deal? And it's because you've forced your body into such stress by not taking care of yourself that you're functioning on adrenaline. And remember, that's the same thing that makes mothers capable of lifting cars off of their
right
in a car accident, right? That's how powerful adrenaline is. And it puts us in that fight or flight mode constantly. So that's something to really watch and to take care of your body. So when you feel that little dip around 8 o'clock in the evening, even though you know you're going to get a second wind pretty soon, it's best to put your body in bed and get a good night's sleep. And if you get in bed before 9 or 10 o'clock, then your body will go into that sleep and you'll start to recover. But if you continually stay up till midnight or 1 like I did, then you're just stressing it, and then it starts all over the next day. And then we drink coffee, or my drug of choice was Dr. Pepper.
Mine too.
And so I would find that that's how I survived the day, with a Dr. Pepper every afternoon just to get through. So we have to, you know, rest, and then we have to make sure we're getting proper nutrition. And we have to be self-observers. So we have to watch what things stress us out, what things make us react really strongly emotionally. Especially like a fight with the spouse, because usually fights aren't about the issue. If you're fighting over the dishes or something like, it's usually not the dishes, right? It's usually something much deeper. And I found that that was a huge part of my health journey, was to start addressing my emotional needs, and that it was okay to have feelings, and feelings aren't right or wrong, and to feel into those and figure out where, what those triggers were, what was triggering this feeling or that feeling or the feeling of resentful or not enough. That's a big one for us moms. What's triggering the not enough tape in our heads? And what's the truth and what are the lies behind that? And when we can take that thought captive and we can say, no, God's given me the grace to do this, so why am I not feeling like I'm enough? Maybe it means we need to ask a friend for help. or ask our spouse for help, or we need to take some time off and get a little break. You know, it could be a number of things, but it's very important that we pay attention to those emotions. And I found Dr. Carolyn Leaf's work to be very helpful in learning how to identify emotions and toxic thoughts and take captive of them. And then finally, our spiritual side, that we need to take time for prayer. And that is very difficult with young children. So for me, it was praying while I was feeding the baby, or I sang a lot of Hail Mary, Gentle Woman, and just really incorporating the idea of our work as prayer, because we're so busy, we're not always going to get time to go to daily mass or to go to adoration or sit down and say prayers or read our Bible. A lot of times it's going to have to be praying on the go and in our job. And teach your children to pray and pray with you. And so we would set an alarm for noon and say the Angelus together. And that was one way we started incorporating prayer in. And I did go to daily mass with all of my children for many, many years until I got sick. And that was extremely powerful to have those graces. And I found that a lot of the people at daily mass were very willing to hold babies and help with kids. And I had to be prepared that my kids were going to get suckers after mass. The grandma two rows behind us, because that was her way of encouraging us to keep coming back and encouraging the kids that if they behaved in mass, they would get rewarded. So, so there are ways to do it, but we have to be able to humble ourselves and ask for the help we need to.
If you could tell a mom that thinks that maybe this is something she really needs to start focusing on, what is one small thing she could start with?
Anything. Absolutely anything. Just that is so wise to just take one small step and work on just that and nothing else. Don't try to leap from where you are straight into sanctity, because we don't get there in one giant leap. It's the daily. You know, when I first started homeschooling, I didn't even know the mysteries of the rosary. And so that was the first thing I did. I was like, I have to learn this, because I'm embarrassed to be around these wonderful Catholic moms and I don't even know the mysteries of the rosary. I was so humiliated by that fact. So you just work on one thing, you know. In one of the mothers groups that I hold, we meet every 3 weeks and we're discussing everyday sanctity. And our resolution was to just spend 1 minute in the presence of God a day. And that doesn't sound like much, but when you have babies and you have toddlers and you have kids demanding of you 24/7, focusing for one complete minute and trying to stay completely present to God is a huge task. It's very challenging. And so just something simple like that, anything, maybe it's just going to bed at a decent time so that you can rest every night, just saying, no, I'm not staying up past 10 o'clock. That's what I'm going to do for myself.
There will be time tomorrow to get those leftover tasks, the dishes, you know, etc. They'll be waiting for you. Your children aren't, you know, they're going to be older tomorrow. But I appreciate that you brought up, you know, the fact that their needs are 24/7, that there's not really a lull, at least for me. I mean, I only have six, but you know, there's not a lull. And I think a lot of us think there should be, and that we're doing something wrong if there's not. But I don't think that's
true. You're exactly right. The truth is there's not a lull. Even when your kids get older, I mean, even for me, my youngest is 7, and a couple of days ago we got a stomach virus. I was up till 11 o'clock, you know, with a child vomiting, and then I had another one start at 5 in the morning. And so, you know, there's always something with life. And it just is important that we acknowledge that. And also, if you find it very hard and challenging, then you're doing it right. The age of parenting is hard and challenging, even when you're doing your best to take care of yourself. And there's just no way around that. It just is. It's just part of parenting. And it is hard. And you need to pat yourself on the back. My best friend has 6 children, and her oldest has special needs. And we used to joke, you know, that at the end of the day, if all of our kids were still alive, we had a successful day. But there's a lot of truth in that, you know, that some days that's the best we can do, is just make sure everybody's alive at the end of the day.
I wish more people felt that way.
The important thing is for you as a mom to think that way and to keep going back and putting your trust into God and just keep pouring into that relationship, because we cannot do it on our own. It is not humanly possible, this task of parenting, and especially the task of homeschooling, added on to that. It's not a human task. It's superhuman. And we need God's supernatural graces to help us to do it, to do it well, because how we mark success in God's eyes is getting our children and ourselves to heaven.
Right. Keeping our eyes on that target. One more question I had was, when we get into that negative self-talk, when that record is playing, what can we do to help pull ourselves out of that and kind of rewind that and refocus?
Yeah. So when I would have extreme anxiety, that was usually coupled with a very, very, deep depression. And oftentimes that was very despairing and felt very hopeless. I find for myself, and I think most women are this way, that we can get stuck in our heads. And the best way to combat those thoughts are to speak them out loud. And so it's good if you have a trusted friend, a counselor, a spiritual director, but just a close friend that you can call, that you know is not going to be in a place of judgment, and they'll be able just to listen and you can talk it through. That helped me tremendously, because once I would say it out loud, like, oh, I went to this mother's meeting and I don't know, I just feel like I said too much and I'm just such an idiot and they probably think I'm crazy and blah. And when I'd say it out loud, I would realize how untrue the statement was. Mm-hmm. And so that helped me to capture that thought initially. Now I can journal. Dr. Carolyn Leaf teaches a technique on journaling, and she's a brain scientist. And what I really like about her work is she also has this three-legged stool philosophy of balancing your physical and emotional and spiritual needs. And so she's, you know, cites scripture in her book, but she has a technique for journaling where you actually journal your thought, and then you keep kind of like a old a bubble journal that you would do, like for writing a paper, you know, where you just get your thoughts out, and you with the negative thought, like I'm not enough, and then you just write everything you're feeling. I'm feeling overwhelmed, and whatever comes next, whatever thought hits next. And pretty soon you can see on paper in black and white, and you can look at your thoughts and you can go, well, that's not really true. You know, maybe you're upset with your husband, you have resentment with him. And then you go, oh, wait, that's not really true. My husband wants to support me and encourage me. He's not trying to kick my legs out from under me or make the situation worse. And so it helps you to see the truth in black and white and helps you to retrain your brain on the positive thought. And that's been a very powerful tool for me to use. So I highly recommend, I think her book is Switch On Your Brain. She has a more detailed one that's called The Perfect You. And that one goes into greater depth into finding out who you are as a unique individual created by God, and helps you kind of identify your purpose, which sounds funny at this point in my life that that would be helpful to me, but it really did. It really reaffirmed that I am right where I need to be, that God called me to this vocation of wife and mother, and that that was enough. And that's who he created me to be. And that's my most powerful place to be. That's where I'm going to have the most effect on changing this world.
Do you have any final words of encouragement that you'd like to share before we sign off?
I would just like to say that the job of motherhood, the vocation of motherhood, is the most important job in the world. And I truly believe that from the bottom of my soul now. And even 6 months ago, I couldn't have said that with such conviction. I do believe it to be true. And also, I just wanted to share with you, I have blogged my story. It's just a little bitty blog out there in internet land. It's youlooktired.wordpress.com. And just kind of shares my journey over the past 5 to 6 years. And I started a Facebook group called Dynamic Families. And I share some videos, some homeschooling tips, and just practical things about homeschooling and managing large families on that Facebook group, just to kind of support and encourage other mothers out there.
I just cannot thank you enough for being on with me tonight and just getting this message out for moms that I know need to
hear. I hope that my story is helpful to, if it's helpful to at least one other mother, then it's been worth it. And I thank you for the opportunity for me to share my story.
You can find links to the things we talked about today in our show notes at barefootabby.com/BYH3. And if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please take a few seconds to share it and leave a review on iTunes so that it is easier for our sisters in arms to find. Thank you so much for listening. And until next episode, just keep thriving in the trenches, and remember, you are not alone in this.